All right, I got to give you my jingle here to open up the show.
Take it to the top. To the top, not the bottom of the top. Top talent.
There we go. We hired the best jingle singers. It's me and a cup of coffee. It is my podcast, Top Talent, and I'm here with a real top talent. I am here with Carmen, excuse me, Lookshire.
Yes.
It is Lookshire and not Shire. Sheer. I never Shire. Asked you that.
I know, no. That's okay.
I've been very, very excited to have you on here.
Aw, thank you. I'm glad to be on.
This is a cool place. We're here at Overit Studios, which is where you recorded your album. We're going to get into that.
Yes. Yep. Right here over it on New Scotland.
So we just gave them a plug. That's $50.
Yes.
Oh, they're listening, I think. Maybe not. And this is the actual room where you recorded your...
Yes. The first couple of songs, we were all in this studio on the live room. And then some of the other songs, I was in the booth and the guys were out here in the room.
Nice.
So, yeah.
So how long did it take you to do this album, which is called, by the way?
For Love.
For Love.
We started back in August of last year. So,
wow.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of seems like a long time, but that's kind of a fast turnover.
True.
To think about it.
Yeah, some of them take years.
But it was only 5 songs, so, you know, not too bad.
Did you have other songs that you wanted to do? And
No, I didn't want to overdo.
Oh, no?
I was like, I had goals, and I was like, right. Okay, I have to do one more song and then call it, you know.
Nice.
So my goals helped keep it sane.
Well, you know, as I just played for you, I have a jingle for me, and I thought it would be unfair for me not to have a jingle for you. Okay?
Oh my God.
So I do have a jingle, just to like to open up the show, but
jingle, jingle,
I brought something
jingle.
Here, because, you know, you can't work without an instrument.
Oh, my God.
So
he broke out the little keyboard. I'm going to take a picture of this, so you can post it.
I just, you know. I was thinking, you know, I have to have a keyboard. And I don't want to bring a big piano with me every time. So,
and you guys know I'm a social media nut. I'm always posting stuff.
Yeah. Oh, we're going to get into that. So here we go. I haven't even practiced this yet. You're going to realize that. Oh, how am I going to do chords while I'm doing this? Okay. Let me see. I got to bring the octave down. Okay. 1, 2, 3. Carmen, Carmen, I could listen to you night and day. I love your voice. You're my first choice when I go to the Eden Cafe. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. A master of social media. I can't wait till you have 10 albums and they're all listed on Wikipedia. Your songs are swinging. When she's not singing, she's acting in a play. Carmen Lookshire. She's on fire. She's on my Top Talent podcast today. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
I'll be here all week. No.
I love it. Thank you so much.
No problem.
I don't think anyone has written a jingle for me. I feel so honored.
Anything that bad, you mean?
No, it was great.
Oh, well, thank you.
Oh, my God.
Copies are available by request.
Okay. $50 again? Okay.
Well, I'll give you that for free. You're giving me your album for free.
Yes.
So
there you go. For even.
So for folks who don't know where you're from, and I'm one of them, are you from the Capital Region originally? Or?
Oh, well, I was born in Brooklyn, New York, and but I grew up in Albany. I live in Colony.
And you've lived in Colony for?
For a very long time. Let's not say how many years now.
Oh, yeah. I don't think you have anything to worry about that way. Are you from a big family, small family?
I guess small. Well, I don't know. I have Puerto Ricans on one side, and I have Chinese on the other, so
nice.
It's a big family,
okay.
But my primary family is just my brother and I.
Are they musical?
My brother plays guitar. He's into film. He does film work.
Oh.
So I'm really the only singer, musician in the family. I don't know where that came from.
Huh.
Don't know.
You don't know?
Nope.
What did you listen to as a kid that maybe was the thing that said, I want
to
do this?
I listened to everything as a kid because thankfully my parents listened to everything.
Mm-hmm.
So they had all the CDs from the 90s. My dad likes the Bee Gees and
Staying Alive,
the Eagles,
right.
And he listened to Bob Marley a lot. And
yeah.
My mom is everything.
Hmm.
Spanish music, gospel music, 90s R&B. So everything.
But that's good.
Yeah.
And you soaked it all in.
Yes, it's true. And then I couldn't find my niche for such a long time. I was like, I don't know what's my style. But I kind of simmered it down to jazz and soul.
Yeah, you know? That's kind of what I wrote down. I know on your website, you said that you're an old soul. You consider yourself.
Exactly. Yeah. And they, my parents didn't listen to like the 30s and 40s music like I like, but my great aunt did. So, and I didn't like it as a kid. I was like, no, turn it off, plug in my ears.
Yeah.
But now I love it.
You see big stars now that are coming out with standard albums like James Taylor. Trisha Yearwood, did you hear that one?
Yep.
Oh, she's incredible. I just got that album.
James Taylor, my dad loves James Taylor.
James Taylor's got a new one that he did. What's the song? I just blanked out. He does a whole mess of different standards, like 10, 15 standards. He could sing the phone book, that guy.
Right. Oh, and it sounds so nice.
Yeah, it sounds really great. Why do you think the old songs hold up as far as compositions? What do you think compared to today?
Oh, gosh.
Do you think they really are that much better than today, or do you think there really are some good composers today that we don't consider good composers?
Oh, yes. I mean, I'm such a stickler for, like, good lines.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm an old soul, and I like the oldies, and they have those good, you know, standards of, like, morals and just love. But, like, today, there are some good lines in music. Like, let's see, Fall Out Boy just did a new song, and he said, if you can't trust, it's basically saying like you can't trust anybody, but if you don't trust anybody, you'll be lonely.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, whoa.
It's
like, wow, that's so true.
Right. Well, a lot of the songs today have, you know, they have good messages, but as far as the way that they write them, as far as them taking the time to have exact rhymes versus like near rhymes.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that? Like
near rhymes, yeah, because I do that.
Yeah, well, so do I, and I all the time. Yeah. I think I probably did it here when I did your song. But I mean, you think of like the old songs, like you must remember this, a kiss is but a kiss.
Right.
It's exact rhymes. I mean,
it's true, yeah.
You know?
But we have to be more creative now, I guess, because we've heard that before.
That's true.
So, I don't know, something new is being made.
Right.
It's a new time.
Good point. You said in your website, too, that your live performances sound like recordings. and no, I agree with
that. I've gotten that a lot.
Yeah.
I know, I kind of sound egotistical when I write that, but it's...
No, it's true, though.
Yeah, I get that a lot. Because people will pass by Eden and they'll hear the music in the parking lot and think, oh, this is you. And then come in and be like, you were singing because I heard you outside and that was the radio.
No, you're very exacting when you sing. I mean, you don't mess around.
It's, yeah.
When you're hitting a note, a note.
You're right. I don't mess around. I don't like to mess around. I just like to get straight to the point.
Yeah.
Does that come
with a real lot of practice? Are you really singing every day? And
yeah.
Or is it just more natural? You just do it when you walk in?
Oh. Well, I do... We do practice every day, my guitarist and I, pretty much every day.
Every day,
and,
wow.
Maybe it's my semi-perfectionism. I just, I try to get it right the first time.
Yeah.
So I don't have to do it again.
Right. So you do. Yeah.
And just by doing, I've learned a lot. Mm-hmm. Just by going out there and gigging, really.
Yeah.
I've learned so much in the last year, and I can tell I've become a stronger singer.
Mm.
Myself, I'm like, wow, you couldn't sing like that last year.
You find yourself being a stronger singer if you sing like 5 gigs in a row, or you would think it by the end of the 5th gig you're not going to sound as good, but you think it strengthens you.
Oh, well, no, I think just like just by doing this
constantly,
yeah, right. Not 5 in a row, it's kind of tiring. I don't like to do too many gigs like that.
Yeah.
Because even my guitarist is like, what are your goals? And he's like, do you want to have gigs every day? And honestly, I don't. Because then you'll get sick of it.
Yeah.
First of all.
It burns you out.
And yeah, I just, no.
I was going to ask that as well. What was the longest day you ever had? I mean, have you ever had a day with multiple gigs? And what was the day where you had the most multiple gigs?
Oh my gosh. It was just 2, but... You know, one was a 3-hour gig, one was a 1-hour gig. Mm. So you're singing for 4 hours, and that's really a lot. And people don't realize how much 3 hours is.
Oh, absolutely.
It's a marathon.
It really is.
It's like jogging for 3 hours.
Yeah.
People don't realize that the voice is a muscle.
No, absolutely.
And you need a break.
Yeah, you can burn it out. I was just reading before I came here an interview with Elton John, and I noticed that he's out now with walking pneumonia. He's doing that. Goodbye tour for 3 years. And the guy's in his 70s.
Yep.
And I don't know how he does that. How do these people do that?
Right. And you have all these people that are demanding this of you, you know? You can't let them down.
That's right.
Know? It's like, it's hard.
You could possibly walk out of a bar if you're sick, but to walk out of, like, the Times Union Center.
Right, yeah.
The pressure has got to be amazing. Yeah. If it ever got to that point, would you want it to get to that point?
Yes.
Who wouldn't? Anybody who's in business.
You're right. I was watching the Taylor Swift documentary.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, yeah, you know, you have that hard stuff that comes with it.
That's
but,
right.
Like, I do want to do all that. I want to, I don't know. I just want to influence as many people as I can.
Mm-hmm.
Inspire and, I don't know, share my music with them.
But for those people who haven't seen you, and I mentioned it in the song, you're not, I should say, not just a singer. I shouldn't say that. You're not just singing. You're also acting. I saw yes. you act in the play in Schenectady. What was the?
In the Heights.
In the Heights.
Yes.
You were fantastic
Thank
in that play.
Thank you. Yeah, I like musical theater, so I think that really got me going with music when I was in middle school. Started in the plays,
mm-hmm.
and then I got into Broadway, and like that's still my dream. Ultimate dream is Broadway.
Broadway.
Yeah.
Not Broadway Menands, not around here. You're talking about the real Broadway?
Right, exactly.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I could go there anytime.
That's right. They should open up a place there just to say it's on Broadway.
Right, exactly.
That's right.
But, you know, dreams are always changing. So, I mean, for me, that's like the ultimate goal. But then I'm sure I'll get more later. Different ones.
Yeah, the more experiences you have, you may find another road that you didn't think about. Well, how about studio work? If everything else dried up and they said you could be a studio musician...
Oh.
I mean, do you like the studio work?
I do.
Because I personally love studios.
I love it. Yeah. I don't know. Something about the atmosphere just makes you feel like a professional. And since I am a semi-perfectionist, I call it semi-perfectionist because I'm not a crazy perfectionist. But like doing it right and being consistent. I love consistency and continuity, you know, all that stuff. So so that's what makes the studio good for me. And now I'm starting to write songs.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if I have to do that, I think that would be fun.
Mm-hmm.
If I write songs.
It's kind of like writing in a laboratory in a way. It's like a lab.
It's true.
It's like lab work.
Yeah.
Well, it's true. If you weren't a perfectionist, if you were like a sloppy musician, it's like, oh my God, I got to do it again.
Right.
Then the studio is not for you.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
One song we had like 12 takes.
Mm.
I mean, it was just like, we leave it running kind of thing, you know,
right.
Maybe it's just a practice or whatever, but. Yeah, I was like, wow, that, you know, if you tell somebody, like, we're going to take 12 takes of this, they're going to be like, no, I'm out.
Oh, know? Absolutely.
But while you're doing it, it's fine.
Yeah. How about the old, good old auto-tune? I know people talk about it all the time. You see,
I don't
it,
know if I should give this away, but...
everybody uses it.
Yeah, no, it's true. No, yeah, people don't realize it's a really awesome tool. Like,
right.
I experienced it in the studio, and I was blown away by the technology. Today, it's amazing. But I'd have to say that on At Last, there is a lot of auto-tune because we did 3 songs in one day. And by the 5th hour straight of singing, I was tired.
Yeah.
And a lot of the notes were flat and
just
not exactly the note. So we kind of pushed it up to the note. So there is a lot of auto-tune on that. But There's only I can hear it.
Right. If it's done subtly. Most people wouldn't know it. It's when like Cher did it originally.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe? That was a little
exactly.
obvious. You can't, a human can't do that. Right.
No, but I had a great engineer here, David Parker. Oh my gosh. He knew what I wanted. Like we had the same kind of taste in our hearing. Like I was like, just this or like think about something and he would do it. So it was great working with him.
Mm-hmm. I think when you see people live and some of the older bands, they are using it live.
Mm-hmm.
They have auto-tune for performing, too.
And one there was one part where my voice was almost, he said I was, like, too in pitch, where it sounded fake.
Oh, interesting.
So, I guess maybe we kind of finagled that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I thought that was really interesting.
I know, you can go in and change not only one note, but, like, one part of one note you can get so minute with.
Yeah.
It's amazing what you can do.
It really is.
It really is. Okay, I'm going to give you some lady singers, and I just want to know where you are as far as your type of music, and I don't mean I want you to diss them if they're bad, if you don't like them, but I just was wondering what you feel about these people. Like Billie Eilish. What do you think about her?
I just kind of figured out who she was. I heard of the name, and I heard of the song on the radio. And then I saw all the Grammys, and then I was like, oh, that's who that is. She has that cool, soulful jazz thing, which a lot of young singers today are looking for. But I don't suggest you sing like that, mm-hmm. because that is not everybody's voice, and that is not what you should be doing to your voice at such a young age.
Interesting.
So, young singers out there, if you're listening, don't do that. Be you, be authentic to your voice. Don't try to get that soulful thing too early, because you will ruin your voice.
If it's put on.
Yeah.
You mean, you're forcing it.
Yep. And I have...
Interesting.
Yeah, and I have singing teacher friends who... you know, say the same thing. So I just want to get that out there. They'd be like, yes, we agree.
Are you taking vocal lessons still?
No, not still. I took them for 3 years, and then I took everything that I learned and I applied it. Mm-hmm. And that was just really how I learned. Because there's only so much you can learn by someone saying, do this, do that, or don't do this, or don't do that. You have to try it.
But there's still pros that take lessons. Like, I think, like, Tiger Woods still takes golf lessons. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. I still consult with them.
Right.
Like, there's especially,
no shame
like,
in it.
Yeah, no, especially the lower notes, because some people want me to sing things that are a little bit too low for me.
Hmm.
So I'm like, how do I approach that?
Yeah, that's important, too.
Yeah.
Especially if you're singing live and you're up on the stage and the band's in the wrong key, and then you sound terrible, right? And it's not, Now, how about... I'm going to be biased here because I thought she was the greatest ever. Ella Fitzgerald.
Yeah, I didn't...
Oh, did you?
I don't know. I love those songs, but I don't know. I didn't grow up listening to her stuff until later.
Oh, yeah.
But I definitely appreciate the jazz, the scatting part. Because like now I'm doing that, incorporating that more into my music.
Oh, nice.
And I didn't even realize that I was taking that from her. I mean, I knew she was the queen of scat, but... I never really based that on her. I just did my own.
I just thought she'd never need auto-tune.
Yeah.
You wonder how people recorded back then when there wasn't auto-tune.
Right?
You know?
One chance, right?
Right. I mean, you hear like the Beach Boys. I mean, all these people that did these four-part harmonies.
Yeah.
How did they do all those? And they're all in... There must have been some kind of studio trickery back then that got them in tune.
Yeah. And maybe today, you know, remastering.
Right. Or they had to sing it 5,000 times until they did it right. How about Adele?
Oh, hello.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't really listen to Adele.
Oh, no?
No. I guess... I don't know. People do tell me to sing her songs, but I don't know. I think that would be too low for me.
Mm. Yeah, that's true.
Too deep.
Yeah, that might be too deep, too. Right. Well, you mentioned Trisha Yearwood, who is one of my personal favorites. Do you like her range, her voice? I mean, could you sing her... Could you sing country? Do you sing country songs?
I wrote a country song recently.
Yeah?
It's so funny. I don't really sing country, though, but I thought it was interesting how she went into the jazz standards
right
with Frank Sinatra stuff, because those are like, I love that kind of music.
Yeah.
So I was listening to her stuff when I had the Sirius radio and the Frank Sinatra station, so that was cool.
Yeah. She does a great job. Yeah. I was just picking... I had one other one, Linda Ronstadt.
Oh, yeah.
Because I remember you sang that.
Yeah, yeah, people love to hear those songs.
She's great.
I think our voices are kind of similar in a way. Like when I do You're No Good, that one's comfortable for me.
Right.
Blue Bayou I do, but it can get low.
Except the last note, that's high.
Right, yeah. So you can't change the key because some parts go too high.
That's right.
But then the bottom notes are too low. So,
yep.
Yeah.
I know. Some
it's
of them
a struggle, and people don't realize it. So they request these songs, but I'm like, ugh.
You're right. In case you're just joining us, my guest is Capital District talent extraordinaire Carmen Lookshire. Let's continue on.
Top talent.
People will compliment my quote-unquote stage presence, which I never thought of. I never thought I had that. And then now that I'm performing out more, I see that the acting really helps me to bring out these characters in the songs, these stories. Because every song is a story and we're just telling it.
Right.
And we need to tell it so that the people will relate to it. So when I sing a song, I'm using hand gestures. I'm using like my eyes or the way that I'm standing, all these things to just portray the song
and connect
to tell
with
the
audience.
Story. Yeah.
More than just standing up there and.
And it adds so much to the performance that people always remember that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's because of the acting, I think, because of stage and doing musical theater.
Yep. definitely
has helped. Yeah, and I think the opposite also has helped, because when I did Sweeney Todd this past fall, I realized that I've become a better actor because I've been on stage and I've been singing.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, I feel stronger in this area. So I thought that was interesting.
They're both acquired skills.
Yeah.
Stage fright. Mm. Everybody gets it.
Everyone. Right? People tell me, like, even on church on Sunday, they're like, you don't get nervous. I get nervous every time, every Sunday, every time I sing.
Well, they always say it makes you better to be. If you weren't nervous, you wouldn't be putting yourself out there. I mean, you wouldn't be giving it your all.
Yeah, right? You're not connecting.
You're not
human.
Right. I asked that question for maybe people who are listening or kids who are listening that want to, you know, become a singer, and they say, well, I get too scared. Well, that's a good thing.
Yep. You will. And do it anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
And do it anyway.
Yeah.
Right.
I always get scared. So you're not alone.
That's right. Do you get more afraid? Like, if you had to sing right now in front of like three people versus 300 people. I know in my case, I'm more nervous in front of the three people than I am in front of 300 people.
I think to me it's the same.
It's exact same?
Yep. Because I'm putting on the show. If there's only one person or 100, you know, it doesn't matter.
It's the same amount of nerves.
Huh. Yeah.
Because when I was on the air, we did this country fest every year. We had 20,000 people, and we would go up to introduce the thing. And I was amazed that I stood up there, and I wasn't nervous at all. There's just so many people that there's no real one person looking at you when there's 20,000 people. You know what I mean?
Right. I haven't gone to 20,000 yet, so maybe I'll get there.
It's an experience when you stand there. It's like looking at an oil painting, you know?
A sea of people.
It's a sea of people, and you just... kind of like, it's just so many people, I'm not even nervous anymore.
Oh, interesting.
it's kind of hard to explain. How do you keep the energy up if no one's listening in a club and you have to sing for 2 hours? I think that's real difficult.
And there's always no one listening. No, I'm just kidding. Sometimes there aren't any people listening.
Right.
So,
or you think they're not listening.
Exactly. Yes, that's true, because they'll come up to you after and tell you. It's about the songs. It's about telling the story. So... and I enjoy singing, so for me, it's like I do it for myself then.
That's good.
You know?
You have to do it for yourself sometimes, right?
I'll sing a little song here.
Yeah.
And if no one's listening, that's okay.
And do you find that audiences today are perhaps a little more, I'm not going to go and say necessarily rude, but do you find that they're less accustomed to being in a concert situation? You know what I mean? Like, they don't have concert etiquette when they go to a club. Because I see it a lot. People are just talking, and there's a person singing up there. But maybe I'm a little more sensitive doing it myself. But
it's interesting, because sometimes we'll go to senior living centers, and it's happy hour, so people are talking.
Mm-hmm.
And then some other people are like, oh, we tried to shush them, but they wouldn't be quiet, and it was very rude. We're so sorry.
Mm-hmm.
But we're used to playing in happy hour, so people are talking, and restaurants, so people are talking. And if, you know... to us, it doesn't matter,
right?
But maybe to the other audience members, it does.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
When I was playing in the piano bar, and I did it for like 10 years, I was used to that, everybody talking, and you were just playing, and either they're listening or they're not listening. And we had this old jazz guy came in one night, and he said, his name was Fats Jefferson. He was from Albany. I'll never forget. He'd been playing around here for like 50 years. And he said, hey, you mind if I come and play a song? I said, yeah, we'd love it. He was like a legend around here. And he sat at the piano, I'll never forget it. And everybody was talking just like I'm used to, because it's a piano bar. That's the way it is. And he stopped and he went, excuse me. He said, I want you to know, when someone's at the piano, you listen.
Oh.
And I said, good for him. I always wanted to say that.
But you're right. But we don't dare.
That's not going to work today. You know, people.
My friends said that I should say, I'll wait.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah. Right.
Because that happened the other night. You know, Valentine's Day, it's a restaurant, people are talking. But, I'm belting a song, and people are talking over that. And I was like, wow.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, at some point. Yeah, right. Well, it's the hour is important, too. Like, if you're singing at 6:30 at night, you can't expect it, right?
Exactly. It was 7 to 10, so.
Right.
Yeah.
After dinner is a good time,
right.
To hit them when they're having dessert, not when they're not when they're eating a steak. Come on, sing along. I noticed you do a lot of religious, you singing in a church, you said, right? So you do a lot of religious?
I cantor at my church, Christ Our Light. And so that basically means I bring everybody into song. at church. So kind of like a song leader.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been doing that for a long time, and that's where I've really honed my singing.
Mm.
And that's where I get my gift, honestly. I'm a spiritual person, so I'm always bringing it back to God, and that's where I get my gift from. So I do write songs about my spirituality. So one of the songs on the album called My Glory Day is about that, about meeting your creator and just looking back on your life and saying that it was full.
And you're also the master of the segue, because I happen to have the song right here. I just happen to have it.
What? Oh, yeah. Who knew?
So this is from Carmen's brand new album.
For Love.
For Love. And this is called My Glory Day?
My Glory
Day. More Glory Day. My Glory Day. Let me push the button.
Through trials, and I've been through pain. I felt that heartache and made my mistakes. I've been through trials, and I've been through pain, but I'll keep on waiting. Through trials, and I've been through pain.
Catchy. I really do like it. It's very good.
Thank you.
And you sang great.
Thanks.
Now
so
I noticed
much.
There's no like reverb or anything on your voice.
Oh yeah. I'm sure there is a little bit. But
I like it though. It sounds very real. Like you're right out front.
Yeah, I wanted that. And that's what I talked to my engineer about. I was like, I want to be the voice, the forefront.
Yeah.
But on that song is my guitarist, Joe Carrick, and piano is Luann Hawk. So that was a good song to perform. It was interesting, though. We did it in this room.
Right in here.
She was on a keyboard because the piano was out of tune.
Oh, yeah.
So we had to bring it in that way. I wanted that church sound.
Yeah.
So it was really interesting when I heard her play my song for the first time. I was like, oh my gosh, it sounds so beautiful with piano. I didn't even think about it, so I had her on the album.
Yeah, you didn't need much more instrumentation.
Right. Right.
You can overdo that, too.
Right.
It's nice to just hear your voice and maybe a couple of instruments.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. When we were in Nashville, we have relatives that live in Nashville, and I went to the Country Music Hall of Fame, which is something to see, even if you don't like country music.
I know,
it's still,
I gotta go.
It's incredible. And they had a sign there, and it said, would you like to go to see RCA Studio 2, where Elvis recorded?
Well, yes.
I said, "Let's. We're doing it." So we get on this little bus, and we go to Music Row in Nashville, which is where all the publishing companies are. Make a long story short, we go in. It kind of reminded me of this room, except it was like four times as big.
Yeah.
You go into this little room when you first walk in, and they play recordings. Here are some of the people who have recorded here, and they have some old school country people. And then you walk in, and it is a room maybe like four times the size of this, and there is a piano over in the corner just like that, and there's an X, a red X on the floor, and the narrator, the tour guide, is saying, by the way, see that red X? That's where Elvis sang Are You Lonesome Tonight.
Oh, my gosh.
And my hands are like almost like shaking. I'm like, oh, my God. And then he goes, as a matter of fact, we're going to hear it right now. And they turn all the lights down.
Oh my gosh.
So you're standing in the studio. And you're, you know, like
nice.
His voice comes out, and it's just absolutely chilling. And the PS to the story is there's that piano over there, and the guy goes, is anybody here play the piano? And my wife is like, poke me.
Because
that's Elvis's piano. I said, I don't want to. I was like nervous.
Oh, my gosh.
And
no
I was pressure. With my family, and they're going, come on over. So they made me do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, because
I just
you'd regret
over.
It if you didn't.
I know.
Come on.
And I just walked over and played a couple of chords. It was the most thrilling thing. It was just this old, big, big room that they still use it for things.
Mm-hmm.
But it's where Elvis recorded.
That's really cool.
If you ever get to go down there, it's amazing.
I'd love
amazing.
To.
And I just dropped my music. I'm so excited about talking about I mean, music, my questions. I noticed that you also have sung at funerals. And I'm wondering, that's a tough gig.
It is. But luckily, I guess the word is, I don't know the people. I haven't had one where I know the person.
Right.
And the very first one I did, it's like hitting a wall. I was like, this is going to be hard.
That's tough.
Because you see the family and very upset. And I prayed about it and I was like, I am here to comfort them.
Right.
It's not about me. And then when you take that off of yourself and you give it, and you're there for other people, then it just makes such a difference. And just by being there with music, it's very powerful, and the families really appreciate it.
Oh, sure.
And it's an amazing experience, though. I'm glad to do it.
Mm. It's another thing to add to your resume. I mean, it's good to have all kinds of experiences. It really is.
And now we're doing weddings, so there's the other end to that, which is really exciting. We already booked like 4 for this year, so really excited about that.
So when you do a wedding, are you going to do the ceremony? You're talking about the reception.
Some of them
too?
Do want the ceremony, so that would be the walk down the aisle and then the exit, or even some instrumentals before the guests arrive. And then we normally do cocktail hour, so the instrument music for that. And then some brides will request the first dance. So it depends on the wedding. So now we have different ones set up for this year. It's really exciting.
That's good.
Yeah.
And you're still doing a lot of clubs. You want to mention some of the clubs that you're in around the area? Oh. I know it might be dated for some people listen to this in 3 months, but.
Yeah, well, I don't do bars anymore. I said I'm not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I do restaurants and happy hour at Eden every Thursday. So upcoming is Athos Greek Restaurant in Albany.
Been there.
Yeah.
Good place.
Oh, my gosh, the food is delicious.
Yeah.
So that's March 6th. 6:30 to 9:30, March 7th. I usually do play with Joe Carrick on guitar, so the Friday at Athos will be with Joe. But on Saturday, March 7th, I'll be at Rivers Casino with my friend Luann on piano.
Oh, good.
And we'll be at Duke's Chop House from 7 to 10.
That's a nice room.
Yeah, we just started doing that. It's really exciting because she's my best friend, so we just have a blast just playing, laughing. So it's going to be fun.
That's great. I want to play your other song from your album here.
Okay.
This, the way I have it on my computer, it cut off the exact title again. That's short for Luxair.
The other one is Ruby Red.
That was Ruby Red. Yeah. That's right. Okay.
So this song is a collab with Joe Carrick, and we wrote it. Well, I wrote a song a while ago about apple pie, but it was a love song.
Mm-hmm.
So people didn't know it was about apple pie. And so he loved that metaphor. So I wrote this song as a metaphor for his guitar, whose name is Ruby.
Okay. So this is Ruby Red from Carmen Look. Oh, Shire. Don't know my own writing.
Ruby red lips and high-heeled shoes, see you staring from across the room. You start to make your way over to me, and as they say, the rest is history. Smoky bar, he's taking draws on his cigar. Machinacious move, someone singing the blues. A sight to see, and the fellas call her Ruby. She's a lady with a girlish physique, and she's likely to walk out and show that she'll walk with the last guy she meets.
Good lyrics, I love it.
Thanks so much.
That sounds great. Have you had experience singing with yourself and like harmonizing with yourself? Do you do any multi-track singing on the album at all?
Not on this album, no. I did actually, a while ago. I did a song. But this song, I like wanted to base it off of Fever, because I told you I want like a sultry song.
Yeah.
And this is what happened. So this one's very sultry.
Yeah, it does remind you of Fever a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, every song reminds you of something else. See, that's the problem I've always had with trying to write my own song. I'll finish the song and go, that's me being Billy Joel. That's me being.
Well, we're
so
all
hard.
Influenced.
We're
you
all
know?
Influenced, right?
That's what teaching is, anyways. That right. Somebody learns something and they're passing it on. So.
Right.
Don't worry about it.
Yep.
That's I have to tell myself that all the
right.
time. That's why I tell you.
But it's good just to write. Even
yes.
if you're done and it sounds like something else, at least you wrote something
yeah,
and you force yourself.
Yeah, people ask right. you, like, should I write, like, what should I write down? I'm like, everything. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, should I add this kind of instrument? Should I add this? Doesn't matter. Just add it now. You
yep.
can always take them out. So that's what I tend to do. As I just write all kinds of phrases, that concepts that come to mind. You know, little lines, and I'll just jot them down.
Just
use your phone, use paper, use
yeah,
anything.
That's right. Now, I always try to listen to a lot of interviews. I was listening to Paul McCartney's interview, and he said that he thinks the phone is kind of a negative because what happens with the phone is you have it with you all the time, so you'll mm-hmm. write down every single possible idea that you have, mm-hmm. and nothing gets finished.
Oh, yeah.
And his, true. And look at all the stuff he's written, and
yeah.
he said, I'm always, if I start something, I will finish that song.
Yeah. Well, that's a good
plan. That's a good,
plan.
Yeah.
Ooh. Ah!
That takes a lot of discipline to do something
right.
like that.
And it's true. You have to have discipline. It's like writing. Like if you're writing a book, you're jotting everything down. But you have to set some goals or
right.
deadlines.
And I could never be, I don't know about you, but I could never be that strict where I could write like every single day at a certain time.
Right,
you know,
right. Yeah. yeah. Which would probably be good. You know, it's like practicing.
Right.
But everybody's different, and I don't think you should have to stick exactly to what
right.
works for someone else.
Unless you're under a contract to have an album
oh,
out
well,
in
yes.
2 months or something like that, right? And I saw another interesting quote, just happened to be reading this Rolling Stone interview with Elton John again. And he said, you have to, when you're in showbiz, you have to love or just remember the times when you were in a van playing boop. S-word clubs. People who don't go through that S-word never appreciate what they get, and they fade away too soon.
Yeah.
So even all the clubs where you're working for
it's
nothing,
yep.
it still goes
oh
into the
gosh.
Experience pocket,
yes.
you know?
Yeah.
I think a lot of people look for the shortcuts. You know, I've also heard beginning comedians ask the experienced one. I heard an interview with Jay Leno, and somebody said, what's the shortcut to
nope.
getting ahead like that? He used to sleep outside of comedy clubs all night on
mm-hmm.
the sleep literally outside
yep.
to get a first place in line.
Yeah.
I mean,
I honestly feel like I'm not working hard enough.
Oh God.
It's true. Like
really?
I feel like I should be doing more. I know last week was very crazy for me, but I do feel like that. Like, yeah, you could always be doing something extra and like pushing yourself. But I listened to Gary Vaynerchuk. I don't know if you know him, but he's an entrepreneur and he's always putting videos on Instagram and stuff, encouraging people, young people in business, is that you have to be patient.
Right.
It doesn't happen overnight. And that's a lot of the young people want to become entrepreneurs overnight. It does not work that way.
Right.
And yeah, you could. You really could.
Yeah.
But are you going to last?
Mm-hmm.
And I want to last forever.
And you want to be discovered overnight, because everybody does. But
right. And no, people are like, you need to be discovered. You need a manager. I'm like, why? I'm going to be in the same exact place where I am now. I'm booking my own gigs. I'm literally wearing all the hats and doing all of it. And yes, sometimes it'd be nice to have somebody book, but then you have to pay them. They're cut. So it's like you
right.
have to give, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm okay with doing it now and enjoying all of that, the process.
I noticed you really work social media constantly.
Someone asked me the other day, did you study marketing? And I didn't. I mean, I went for arts administration, like museum studies. I was going to be a curator.
Oh.
And yeah, we talked a little bit about marketing, so maybe I am using my degree. Thank God. My family's happy. But I think it's just I learned by doing. And people see that. But if you really love what you're doing, you're just going to do it,
mm-hmm.
you know, just going to put it out there. And what I tell, like, I like to tell people if they want to market, people don't know what they don't know. So you
right.
have to tell them a million times.
Right.
So this is just me reminding people.
To break through with all the garbage that's on there all the time, you have to be on there all the time.
Yep.
You really do.
And you have
yeah.
to be authentic. So when I'm doing crazy videos of me doing my makeup, it's really me.
Right.
But people like that.
Yeah, people like that. Because it's not you overtly advertising something.
Right.
It's just showing yourself and
mm-hmm.
yeah, any way you can get out there.
Yeah.
I know. It's really hard. Do you think that Facebook is kind of going the way of Instagram? And you think Instagram has taken more of a foothold now? Or what do you think is the top place to be on?
Well, I have fans all over. Like, some people aren't even on Facebook at all. Yeah. So that's why I still have an email list for people not on social media.
Oh.
And even they won't see the emails. So then some of them want me to text them. But I can't be texting 100 people every time there's a show. So it's kind of hard. But I'm trying to do as much advertising all over as I can. Instagram and Facebook even do their own kind of thing. So I do have, I think, the most people on Facebook. This is my community of friends that aren't on social media, aren't on Instagram. But that's fine. So I'm always back and forth with those two. And I think it does help that Instagram crosses over with Facebook. So you can just put your story on Instagram and it'll go to your Facebook story.
Because they own each other, right?
They do. Facebook, yes, owns it.
Yep.
So that's helpful. But otherwise, it's like, then I have to tweet. And I don't like using Twitter as much because I don't think my people are not on there.
Yeah.
So to me, that's a waste. But sometimes I kind of throw things out there just in case somebody's looking on there.
Yeah, I've never gotten a response on Twitter either for some reason.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Not like the president. He knows how to use it.
Right.
But yeah, it's I have a little bit of a problem with even the podcast. Because I'm number one worried that people don't know what a podcast is. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, I'll just test them. I say, do you listen to podcasts? No, what's that? I don't know what that is.
And then some people are really into podcasts.
And then I hear that there's 850,000 podcasts. There really are. Apple has registered 850,000. So I'm thinking, how do I break through that? You know, and how do you, it's the same thing. You got to be on there all the time.
Yep. I think you're doing a good job. You're being consistent. That's the key,
too. You got to be consistent.
Yeah. Yep. Every day posting, people will ask how many times they should be posting. Like, if you're not, well, Gary Vaynerchuk, the entrepreneur, says you should be posting 7 times a day.
Is that what he said?
Yes. Oh, but wow. I mean, I don't, it depends on the person again.
Right.
But if you are a business person trying to sell something and you're only posting 1 time a day, then that's probably not going to work. You have to push your product. You know, you have to let people know what they don't know.
I forgot what country artist it was, because we've seen so many of them when I was on the air, but I can't remember who it was. They were at Proctor's, and I went backstage, and I noticed there were 3 people in a room with computers, and I think they were tweeting and social mediaing the whole time.
Because
obviously the person on, when you see a post from a person on the stage, you're thinking, well, obviously they're not posting, otherwise they wouldn't be performing.
Right, they have people for that. We don't have people for this.
Right. I think the president's got to have people. He can't be doing all 500 tweets. You never know. I know. I don't want to get into that. But he's pretty good at it.
Consistent,
I guess. He's very consistent, no matter what you think. He's consistent.
There you go.
Well, do you want to ask me a question?
No. Oh, my gosh.
No, yes. I'm just kidding.
I do have questions about it. When's your next show?
My next show? I've been concentrating on this, and I'd like to get back to our favorite little hideout there, the haunt, the Eden Cafe.
Yeah,
yep. I was going to say the Hedonistic Cafe. No, it's something different. No, the Eden
Cafe.
That's
a different one.
With the great Joe Ventura.
Yeah, your piano bar.
Yes.
I love that
idea. He was very, very clever. For those who have never seen it, the owner, he actually took a piece of whatever. I don't know if it's not plywood. Yeah. I guess it's some kind of wood. And made the actual top of a piano and put it on the top of high top tables. And I just bring my digital keyboard, put it behind it, put chairs around it. We have a makeshift piano bar. Yeah, I've got to do it again. I want to do it again.
Right, you have to.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun.
And my album, For Love, again, is available at my shows. So I'm going vintage. I'm just doing CDs for the first couple of months. We're not doing streaming yet.
Wow.
I'm going to wait for, I think, maybe April. April is my birthday month, so I think then I'll put it out in streaming.
Mm-hmm.
But I want people to come to the shows and I want them to have something tangible that they can hold and say and listen to. Okay, maybe some people don't have CD players anymore. But you can find one. Go to the thrift store. Go to your neighbor's house. Go into your car. Okay, if your car doesn't have one, go into your neighbor's car.
Who would have thunk that you can't find a CD player?
Right?
I know.
I don't know. Maybe, And I think DVD players will play them. So,
yeah,
you can find it. It's also available on my website. I can mail you a copy if you aren't able to come to one of my shows. I can see that. But I'll mail you a copy.
That's a really nice cover. They did a nice job in the packaging of it.
Yeah, Map Graphics did the photography. We shot at the Berlin in Troy. So that's the images on the cover jacket. And the lips on the front, I'd like to point that out. Those are actually my lips.
Oh, they're really?
Yeah. I had to like kiss a piece of like plastic and try to get the lip print.
That's funny.
Yeah, I wanted, you know, lips next to love. And then I was like, well, I'll use my own.
Right. Instead of stealing the graphic online and then somebody then with just, lips would sue you.
Right. Then it's, you know, a little extra something, you know, different.
Sure.
Do
you think it's important to listen to this in an album form instead of like just streaming one song at a time?
Because the way I laid it out, I started with a song that was written by my guitarist called Helpless. And so that's a duet. And then a couple of the songs is our collaboration songs, which are more high energy. And then I kind of bring it down a little bit more meditative with My Glory Day.
Mm-hmm.
And then I put At Last, last on the album, because I love being corny that. I am a curator by, you know, education. So I curated this album and I would like people to listen to it in that layout. But then afterwards, they can go and listen to whichever one they like the most.
That's another interview I heard. And Garth Brooks said the same thing. He goes, I didn't want my songs where you could just download one at a time. They tell a story. I want them to have the album and experience the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
That's true.
And Someone to Dress Up For is like another exciting song. I just wrote that, you know, based on my own experience of being single and wanting somebody to look pretty for and dress up for and look good for. So that one's a really pretty song. And I think maybe my favorite on the album.
Oh.
I know. But I think My Glory Day will be very inspirational to people. And I really look forward to that, hearing people's experience listening to that song.
And do you sing it in church?
I don't.
Oh, you got to sing it now.
I know, right?
You could debut it there.
Yeah. You're right. That'd be great.
I'll sell them for you on the outside of the church. I don't know. That may not work too well.
We'll have to put up the price.
I'm holding this up for the camera. Of course, we have no camera because this is a podcast.
Wait, no, I'm going to take a picture. Don't worry.
Okay, great.
You.
We'll do it that
way. You know, the social media queen over here.
Oh, that's right.
So people can follow me at Carmen the Singer all over social media on Instagram, Facebook.
We have to do a selfie here so I can show the whole very elaborate system I have here. Looks like I robbed a Radio Shack before it went out of business.
Didn't you?
I think I did.
And then my website is carmenlookshire.com, so people can
go
on there and order the CD, or they can go listen to some music.
See, that was experience. You did a selfie in one, you know, I'd be like moving it all over the place. Oh, my bald head.
Oh, no.
Well, Carmen, it was a pleasure.
Oh,
and
my gosh,
I was always looking forward
to
doing this. And I showed you my logo. I have to have it laminated.
Damn it. I don't know. What's your song? Your jingle.
Oh, you want to hear it again?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Here you go. Take it to the top. To the top. Not the bottom of the top. Top talent. There you go.
Can I be at the end of that? Yeah.
Yeah. I'll record you going, yeah.
I love that.
Well, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. This was awesome.
This was a lot of fun. I really was looking forward to doing it, and I'm glad we did it.
Top Talent is produced, directed, written, and sloppily put together by Richie, with original music by Richie. Please leave a comment and subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcasting application. Top Talent is a Me, Myself, and I production. I'm Don Barton, and I'm in love with my own voice. Thank you.